Thank you, everyone. I'm glad you all could make it. The weather has gotten quite gorgeous outside, so I really appreciate you're still indoors. First, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors who couldn't be here today. Vivian Gabor was our project director and so is ultimately responsible for what's being presented here today. And Dr. Sabrina Madoff-Stepp was our project officer from HRSA's Maternal and Child Health Bureau, without whom the project probably would never have taken place. But unfortunately, they couldn't make it, so I'm here, and hopefully I will do them justice. I have no financial relationships to disclose, and I'm going to jump right in with a brief overview of the project, our methods, some of our findings, and then I will get to the surveillance data a little down the road and try to tie it back to the bigger picture here. So we were funded by the Maternal and Child Health Bureau for a one-year period to identify and explore ways in which women's health is being prioritized in Title V programs, how it's being tracked and measured across the states and jurisdictions. And in the process, we reconvened an expert work group to discuss the findings and the implications for the broader life course perspective that MCHB has been trying to incorporate throughout their programs. So our objectives were to identify any common and emerging women's health topics across what turned out to be 57 states and jurisdictions. We didn't have reports from two of them. And understand how states are going to track progress in meeting these needs. And I don't know, I assume everybody's familiar with Title V, but just in case, it's also referred to as the Maternal and Child Health Block Grant Program. And every 5 years, states are required to conduct a needs assessment to prioritize how their funding will be spent in addressing maternal and child health needs. So we took those needs assessments and looked at the needs that were identified, the data they used to support those needs, and ultimately how they're tracking progress on them. I've probably covered everything on this slide. I'll also add that, you know, another goal was to share what we found with the states so that they can see the progress other states are making in incorporating a broader women's health perspective in their programs. And we have some, I have an example I'll give you towards the end of the discussion. So our methods, we conducted a review of 57 of the 59 needs assessments. We identified any priority needs that states developed that addressed women's health. And we first identified the priority need, then we identified the performance and outcome measures that states developed that were aimed to address those needs. States are required to do so. And then we reviewed the text of the needs assessments, in some cases 280-page documents, like California, to find out what data supported the prioritization of those needs. And finally, we, of course, recorded with the data sources that were used. And so we had to make some tough decisions in doing this. It is the Maternal and Child Health Block Grant Program. So many, many of the needs are related to maternal health. But we were really interested in a much broader picture of what's going on. And so these were the three mutually exclusive categories that we developed that kind of guided our review. And so many priority needs included women and children and youth and infants, and children. So those are women among multiple MCH populations. One example would be reducing the rate of obesity among children and women of childbearing age. Women only focused on only women, no children or anyone else, but it broader than only during pregnancy. So that might be improving preconception health for all women of childbearing age. And then pregnant women, we also included, but we did exclude those that really addressed some of the current national reporting measures. So reducing smoking during pregnancy or teen pregnancy, things where states are already required to report, we excluded from our review. So this is what we found. Every state had some priority needs that addressed women outside of pregnancy. We had a total of 193 priority needs across the 57 states and jurisdictions. 164 of those are those first two groups, not including women only during pregnancy. And we have a nice little pie chart showing the distribution. I'm not going to read all the numbers to you. And these are the most common health topic areas that we found. These are not mutually exclusive. Some states were very ambitious and sought to address oral health, mental health, and access to general health care all in one priority need. So we would have coded those as all three. And so 23 states identified mental or behavioral health as being a priority need in their state among women, which we thought was very interesting. We really didn't expect there to be so many states focusing on one health topic area. And you can see weight status or BMI and family planning also came up quite a bit. Within those, however, there was a wide variety of needs that were expressed. So some states were concerned about access to mental health care, while other states were concerned about women with depression getting the appropriate treatment. So very specific, very broad. Some focused only on postpartum depression. And so while we were able to categorize about 50% of them into these eight categories, there was a wide range of needs that were expressed. All right, so for each priority need, the states have to identify performance or outcome measures that they report on annually. And so we pulled those, and we found that there were 82 measures that were specific to women. And the reason the number is so much smaller is because when you pick a specific measure, it's not going to be the percent of children, infants, and mothers who have access to care. You'll pick one group, probably your priority population. And so a lot of those are because of them grouping women with other MCH populations. And the choice for a specific measure could also be related to the availability of your data. So we did not explore the whys. We just looked at what was done. You can see most states, 47, had a women-specific priority measure or performance measure. And for the additional data that we looked at throughout the needs assessments, we found 226 data points that were related to the priority needs. So states were quite thorough in presenting what the needs are in their state and also have access to a lot of data to do so. And so here are the same eight topic areas we identified. And the performance or outcome measures are the dark blue bars, and the additional data points are the light blue bars. Interestingly, family planning was the most often measured, I guess, of all of the topic areas. And that might have to do with data availability, but it also has to do with the fact that family planning needs were usually women specific. They weren't including other populations. So if you're going to develop a measure, it's probably related to women. Let's see. So I have some examples of the women's health measures. I also am very old fashioned. I have a handout that has more examples for all of the eight categories. And I think it's also available online, I hear. And we also have state women's health profiles for every state that I'll show you how to find later, or I'll show you what it looks like. So these are just some examples. Mental or behavioral health, this one is related to receiving appropriate medication and treatment. There were others that involved screening for postpartum depression or screening for depressive symptoms. Weight status or BMI were all very much alike. And family planning, there are really two topic areas in that category. Unintended pregnancy was the big one, and then there was also birth spacing. And so the states were able to have very good measures for those. And now we'll get to the surveillance data. So almost across the board, states use three data sources. And I imagine this is probably not a big surprise for a lot of you. PRAMS was used most frequently, despite it not being available in every state. BRFSS is available in every state, but was used less frequently. And then vital statistics. And vital statistics was mostly for the birth spacing and unintended pregnancy, or no, birth spacing. And you can see the breakdown there, which my next slide will discuss a little more. So in PRAMS, I think we're up to 42 states by the end of this year in New York City. This is from earlier this year, and I should have updated it. But it was the most common source of data for mental health, family planning, and domestic violence. And there are also additional states like California who have their own surveys that ask very similar questions. So the availability of those data are even broader than just the 42 states that use it now. All right, I just got my 5 minutes. BRFSS is collected in every state, and it was the most common source for weight status, BMI, nutrition, physical activity, tobacco use, oral health. It was also frequently used for mental and behavioral health, but that's an optional module, so it's not done by every state, and it's not done annually. So that's a limitation in using that as a measure across the board. And then vital statistics, family planning. It was used frequently for weight status and BMI in states that have the revised birth certificate where pre-pregnancy BMI is collected. All right, and this is an example of our state women's health profile. They're available on the HRSA website. Basically, it'll give you every state's women's health-related priority needs, the performance and outcome measures associated with them, and then the additional data sources the state used and their needs assessments. And my handout has the link to the website, although I bet you have a lot of stuff to carry home already. So I'll just sum up really quickly. We thought it was a very positive finding that every state is really looking at women's health from a broader perspective. We found 8 women's health topics to be most frequent, but they ran the gamut. They were very diverse, and beyond those 8, I think we identified 12 or 15 additional topics. So once you get outside of those, it's all over the place. Let's see, 43% were linked to performance measures and outcome measures, which I'd mentioned is because of how the priority needs were phrased in the context of other populations. And so basically, the states have a wealth of resources to track and report and prioritize their health needs. And primarily, Title V agencies appear to be doing it using PRAMS, BRFSS, and vital statistics. Some also use state administrative program data, so Medicaid and WIC, and others use local health care, like clinic data, which might not be representative, but it did provide a wealth of information. And so We concluded our study with a reconvening of the work group, and basically it was discussed that as states move forward and incorporate more broad women's health measures and needs, that MCHB might revisit this again and see if there are any common needs across states that could be focused on nationally. And that's the end. Did I make it?
We made it. We only have time for one question.
Right. Sure.
Did you find any states or any regions where you thought there was fewer than you would have expected women's health priorities?
They were different than I would have expected. California's, for instance, I expected to be broader, but they came up with some very, very specific needs. I think reducing the rate of C-sections is a priority. I mean, they were very specific, and so it wasn't, let's reduce obesity across the board. They were very focused. I don't know if I had expectations, too many expectations going into it.
Very interesting.
Thank you.